Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning we're continuing our series in Exodus, the story of Moses, and it might be helpful for you to keep your pew Bibles open at Exodus 4 or to have your pew sheet with you there. So if we remember, at 3 months old, Moses was set adrift in a tar-coated basket on the Nile by his mother to escape the death ordered by Pharaoh for all newborn Jewish boys. And God arranged for him to be raised in the very household of the person who wanted to kill him. When Moses grew up, he killed an Egyptian for ill-treating an Israelite and had fled Egypt to escape punishment. The first 40 years of his life were spent in privilege. The next 40 years were spent in exile. He married and had a family and worked as a shepherd for his father-in-law. Then, one day, while Moses was out tending the sheep, he heard a voice calling to him from a burning bush. God met with Moses in the wilderness and told Moses he was sending him to bring God's people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God had revealed to Moses his own personal name, Yahweh, or Jehovah, which means, I am who I am, I will be who I will be. It's a declaration by God of his self-existence. But Moses was still full of doubt. Moses said to God, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? So God gave Moses 3 signs as proof to the Israelites and the Egyptians, but probably also as proof, as encouragement and confirmation to Moses himself. First, he turned Moses' staff into a snake. Second, he made Moses' hand leprous and healed it. Third, he turned water into blood. The first sign was turning Moses' staff into a snake. Through those long years that Moses had spent as a shepherd, he had carried a staff that he used as a tool and as a weapon as he cared for his sheep. He would use his staff to steady him on uneven ground, to beat back thorny bushes, to guide sheep with a gentle tap, to help him climb up cliffs or down cliffs, to defend himself and his animals against attack by wild animals or bandits. The staff was a trusted tool that Moses came to rely on. God used what Moses already had. And God often calls people to his service with what they already have. The symbol of Moses' old life as a shepherd was his staff. God told Moses to cast it away. The dead stick turned into a snake. I knew I'd find a use for this one day. Why would God turn the staff into a snake and not something else? In ancient Egypt, the snake was the symbol of sovereignty, royalty, deity, and authority. The cobra was the symbol of power that was worn on the crown of Pharaoh. It was as though God was saying to Moses, my power is greater than Pharaoh's power, and I'm giving you authority over Pharaoh and his power. Pick up the snake, and it will be harmless to you. There are echoes too, I think, of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and that God is also demonstrating his power over Satan and sin. So the first sign was a demonstration of God's power over the created world, over the worldly power and authority of Pharaoh, and over the spiritual power of Satan. The second sign was a demonstration of God's power to strike down, to smite, as they would have said in the olden days, but also the power to cleanse and heal. Leprosy has historically been one of the most feared human diseases, even until quite recently. You may remember the fuss 20-something years ago when Princess Diana actually touched a person with leprosy. Leprosy excluded someone from society. A person with leprosy ceased to be regarded as a person and became a leper, subhuman. It marked them as something rather than someone, a thing to be feared and driven away. Leprosy was a slow death of rejection, loneliness, hopelessness. If this God has the power to give someone leprosy, then this God is a God to be feared. But if this God has the power to heal leprosy, then suddenly this God is someone very attractive to those with leprosy. He is a God of hope. He is a God of acceptance. He's a God of freedom. There may also be something going on here more personal for Moses. The hand that Moses places in his tunic was probably the hand that he used to strike and kill the Egyptian. It's probably the hand that will hold the staff through which God's power will be revealed to Pharaoh. Perhaps Moses' hand needed to be sanctified before it could be used in God's service. And perhaps Moses needs to see that happen. When God called Isaiah to be his prophet in a vision, Isaiah said to God, "Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips." So an angel took a burning coal and touched Isaiah's mouth with it, saying, "Your guilt is atoned for, your sin is taken away." God cleansed Isaiah's lips so that he could speak God's words. God cleansed Moses' hand so that through Moses' hand, God could show his power. Perhaps there's a challenge for us there too. Is there something in our lives, a sinful behavior or a sinful attitude, that we like to keep hidden in our cloak? Something that we need to bring before God to be cleansed and sanctified before he can fully use us in his service. The third sign of turning the Nile into blood was a demonstration of God's power over the whole nation of Egypt. The Nile was the lifeblood of Egypt, of its commerce, of its wealth, of its agriculture. Shed blood was a symbol, a sign of death. Something had died. So God has the power to take the life of Egypt. He has the power to bring death to Egypt. And this would be the first of the 10 plagues. So three signs. God called Moses to a task that seemed like madness, to challenge the most powerful man on earth. Moses, a stuttering, frightened, doubting, excuse-filled fugitive from the law. But God saw something in Moses that Moses couldn't see in himself. God saw a man who would become one of the greatest leaders in not only Jewish history, but world history. God sees our weaknesses, how they can be turned into strengths. He sees how doubts can be changed into faith, and he sees how defeat can be made into victory. God asks us the same question he asked Moses. What do you have? What do I have that God can use to reveal his power and glory through our obedience to him? What do you have to offer God? Now, you may have noticed the rolling PowerPoint before the service asking, "What is your call of God?" And you may have read on that PowerPoint that there are a whole host of ways that people serve in the church and in the community in order that we might fulfill our responsibility as God's people in this place. Now, we might be a thriving church, or we might seem to be a thriving church now, But we won't continue to be a thriving church if we don't have people willing to serve, especially younger people stepping up as our older people step back. We need new people to serve in our cogs, our calls of God, our ministry teams. We need people willing and able to coordinate those cogs. In April, Christine and Bob are stepping down as our church wardens. Hayden's time as parish secretary is finished, or will finish. We need godly, servant-hearted people to replace them. We need younger people on our church council. Not because we have anything against age, we value and honour age and experience, but because we need younger people with fresh ideas and godly passion to lead St Mary's into the next generation. The servant leaders of the next 10 and 20 years are here among us now. Can I ask you to think about that, to pray about that, and then speak to John about how you might serve in St Mary's and in our community? Moses laid down his staff as a shepherd of sheep, and he picked up the staff, now God's staff, commissioned by God to be the shepherd of his people Israel. God can take whatever you have and use it to do great works for his kingdom. God can take anything you have and use it if you will let him. God can use any of us. God can use all of us, no matter what age we are and no matter how inadequate we might feel. Maybe you have a sense that God is calling you to something, but it's so far beyond your comfort zone that it seems utterly ridiculous. Is it as ridiculous as an 80-year-old, tongue-tied and doubt-filled shepherd taking on the most powerful leader in the world, armed only with a stick? Every Christian carries the power of the Holy Spirit with them. We take the presence of God wherever we go. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That we are the presence of God wherever we are. Jesus is looking for willing disciples, willing to lay down their old lives and pick up their new life and follow him. He doesn't want those who will stand with pride to show off their talent. He isn't looking for perfect people who have everything tidy and together before they follow. He isn't looking for those who will lift themselves up on a pedestal or a pulpit as though they were God's only choice. He will take us as we are and make us what he wants us to be. God wants us to lay our life down at his feet and say, "Make me who you want me to be. Mold me and make me into the image that you have in mind for me. Let my life count for something greater than I can imagine. Let my life, O God, count for you."